welcome in. It's another edition of the Falcon Cast podcast here on AtlantaFalcons.com. We are missing Matt Moore. Again, we did promise this would be his last
Looking forward to his last show.
Final episode, and he's like, hey guys, why don't you guys just do it? Because I got other stuff. I got soccer things.
You know what? I think he's trying to prolong his last show.
I know that he's having a hard time letting go of this particular piece.
He struggles up there in his office. Struggles,
yes. But for those of you who don't know, I'm Jay. This is DJ.
Oh, no, I'm
Jay here. And DJ, really. Works good. Kind of three letters, two people.
We look better, too, right?
We do.
We look like
it's
good
kind
guys,
of nice,
right?
Yeah. So now that Dad's gone, we can kind of mess around and just have some fun on the podcast here. So training camp is wearing on. I smell like a coconut because I'm coated in sunscreen.
Still. Coconut, huh?
Yes.
That's a great usage right there, coconut. Yeah. I was like out there, coconut. I was sweating.
It's
like,
hot.
I lost a couple pounds.
Yeah.
It was good, though. It's good. Good heat.
It is. And, you know, they're getting a lot of work done. Dan Quinn's practices, everybody's been talking about those. Getting them on the field, getting them off the field, all that stuff. But we got a game.
Game time, baby.
On Friday.
Yeah.
It's about, nice.
As a player, this is what you look forward to. You've been in camp for about a week and a half now. You're ready to see some other teams. You're ready to hit some other guys, like defensively. You want to compete against other players. And now you had Friday Night Lights, which gave you a chance to get around the fans. And you got to start to feel like, all right, it's almost time. And then now you get into a real live game action. Everything you've started from OTAs, mini camps, now you're in the – To training camp now, and it's time to go. It's, you know, Coach Quinn and everything that he's put in line, it's time to go now. It's go time.
As a guy who went through these seasons, you get into the preseason, you know, some people argue that the preseason is worthless. Some people talk about, well, you know, it's good for this or that, or there should be fewer or whatever. As a guy who's gone through it and having to go through a camp and earn a roster spot and all that kind of stuff, what's the level of importance for these preseason games to get some good tape for the coaches to look at and make an informed decision about your abilities?
It's probably the most important. I mean, I'm going to be a little biased because every training camp for me, I'm trying to make the team.
Sure.
So I wanted the four preseason games. I wanted all the practice times. I wanted as much time on film that I could get. And it's good for not only just players who are trying to make the team, but the vets as well, because they're trying to find their rhythm as well. They got to get into game live situations and be able to function and be able to run this new offense that they're going to have, new defense. They need these live actions. You know, practice is good. You have your 11-on-11. You have all that kind of stuff, but there's nothing like coaches not on the field. Mm-hmm. You got fans in the stands. You know, you got to be out there on your own. Nobody can tell you, all right, you got this and that. And it's most important. Now, the one thing that I was always told was, all right, now you're fighting for a spot on this team, but guess what? There's 31 other teams out there that are looking at their film. Mm-hmm. So don't just think now, okay, if you don't make this team, then it's all lost. You're putting film out there for everybody else to see. So you want to always put your best foot forward so that just in case you don't make this particular team, there's 31 other teams out there who say, all right, I like what he did. Maybe he can fit into our system. So it was really important for me to really – play well in the preseason, and then also play well in practice because these are the coaches who see you every single day. They know what you can do. And for me, a lot of times, I used to get in late in the game. Mm-hmm. So I only had maybe a quarter, maybe half a quarter to prove what I could do, and sometimes that wasn't enough. So you needed that practice. You needed all those different times during practice to show, hey, I can compete on this level and play.
Now, we'll talk a little bit more about the game here in a minute. I want to get to a couple of training camp storylines, and I think the one that everybody's really talking about is the running back situation.
It was
been
so
the
big,
big
right?
one.
Yeah.
You know, Tevin Coleman goes out with a hamstring injury, and then Devontae Freeman says, you know what, if you can do it, I can do it.
Next day,
does the same thing. So it looks like these guys are going to be out for a little while through the preseason.
Yeah.
So now you go into camp thinking, and we talked about it so much on this program, is – there's going to be a great running back battle.
Oh, yeah.
Well, now the running back battle is who can get to the training room fast enough
right.
between those guys. And, you know, so you've got some other running backs who are going to come in and kind of take that role. I mean, this is one of those kind of rare situations where you've got the guys at like 3, 4, and 5 on the depth chart who are ultimately fighting amongst each other at this point.
Yeah, and it's a good thing because all those guys can see the light in that tunnel because they can see, okay, everybody knows – those two guys are going to be here. Those are going to be your two bell cows that, hey, they're going to run the offense. But you got, like you mentioned, 3, 4, 5 other guys who say, all right, I need some of these reps. Yeah. I want some of these carries. And they're showing what they can do in practice, but it's going to matter in this game. And I heard Coach Quinn say earlier in the week, yeah, we evaluate these guys in practice, but the game is really when we want to see what they can do. And this running back position is going to be big because they're going to have to run the football. You're going to have to get in there and be able to catch. You're going to have to be able to pick up some blitzes and pass protection. And if you can't do that, it's going to be shown. Yeah. And because Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman are down, you're going to get more reps than you probably would have if they both were playing. So it's a good thing for them that they're going to have a chance to go out and really show what they can do with a lot of plays. A lot of plays, a lot of reps. Are going to be things that not just run the football. They want to see what they do away when they're not running the football. Do they pick up the blitz? Do they go the right way? You know, so certain things matter. And then also, these guys can get it done on special teams.
Yeah.
We know Anton Smith is a, you know, a guy who's been on special teams for years and has done a good job of it. Those other guys got to say, all right, those other two guys, they have their running back spots, but we got to find another way to make this team as well as running football.
You know, here's the thing that stands out to me about this whole situation is that you've got the two running backs, Devontae and Tevin, with 1 year of combined NFL experience, right? Yeah. So now you're taking the potentially the preseason, most of the preseason, if not all the preseason, out of the equation for these guys.
Yeah.
And especially a guy like Coleman, who, you know, you hope I would think as a rookie, you get the jitters out of the way
right.
during the preseason. Yeah. You get in front of the home crowd, you get in front of the away crowd, and you kind of understand, okay, well, this is football. It's still football. You still got the distractions and all these other things going on.
You want him to get out there to get the speed of the game.
That's
he's
the
been
thing.
In practice,
yeah.
But the game is totally different speed. Right. Preseason, regular season, two different speeds, but he doesn't even know what preseason speed looks like.
That's
because he won't be able to go out there. So he needs to be out there. And with hamstrings, as we know, ain't much we can do about that but rest.
Rest, that's it. And so that's the thing that stands out to me is that are you going to be in a situation where Tevin Coleman gets his first taste of NFL life
regular season
on Monday Night Football against the Philadelphia Eagles and the Georgia Dome? And I don't know that that's an ideal situation. Now, I know that he's a mature kid and he can handle it and all this other stuff, but man, I still think that is one of that's going to be a tough scenario for him.
But still, even for a guy who's coming into it, he may be mature. There's nothing like fulfilling your dream of being in the National Football League and then playing on Monday Night Football your first game. Ooh. There's no way to hold that in. I'm going to tell you now. It's no way to hold that in. The jitters are going to be live. He's going to have to take a nice one to the chin before he, you know, really feels like, okay, I got to calm down.
Yeah.
You know, Monday Night Football in the Dome, it's going to be rocking, and that's going to be your first ever game. It's gonna be energetic.
I'm jacked up right now. I tell you are too.
I'm ready to go.
You ready to go?
I'm excited about it. Coach Quinn, suit me up.
There you go.
Ready to go.
There you go. All right. So let's get into some of these things with the first preseason game. You know, as a quarterback, you would know what's the game plan. There's no game plan.
Yeah, absolutely. You hit it right on. There is no game plan. The first game is all about, what do we do well?
Yeah.
We want to see certain guys in certain spots, and we're going to put them in certain situations and say, okay, how do you perform? How do you run our offense? So we're not so much worried about the Tennessee Titans. We're worried about, okay, there's a guy in front of you. You need to beat him. All right? We're running stretch right. We want to see you stretch right, run it, get upfield. We want to see you make a tackle. We want to see you run down and make a tackle in the open field. Things like that are they want to see. They're not really worried about what the Tennessee Titans are doing. Yes, they want to see you compete against other guys, but there's no game plan. There's no, all right, it's 3rd and 5. These are select plays we want against Tennessee. It's 3rd and 5. What do the Atlanta Falcons do well on 3rd and 5? What have we worked on in the red zone that we want to see, you know, Miyake do or Jacob Tammy? Some of the things that we want to see these guys do in the red zone. Can Talulo match up outside? Just little small things that we want to see our individual guys, what do they do well in certain situations? Not much more than what the Tennessee Titans can do to us.
Now, the other thing about preseason is that, you get a sense of what you have. And I heard, I think it was William Moore today who said, you know, one of the things that you get out of the preseason is you find out a lot about the guys around you in the locker room. Now, this is a locker room that's full of brand new faces.
Yeah.
So for some of these veterans, how important is it for them to get around and see game situations with not only the rookies but the veterans as well?
Yeah, it's a big trust factor. I think you worry about, okay, I've seen this guy play for this team or that team. I know what he's about, but I don't know what he's about when he's next to me. Mm-hmm. When I need to depend on him to fill his gap and I got to follow him, will he actually fill his gap and do his job? And it's more of a trust thing for the veterans is, okay, I know your background, I know what you're about, but with us together, does it mix? Mm-hmm. Is there good chemistry? Do we communicate well on the back end, just especially for DBs? Receivers for Justin Hardy coming here, do you get to the right spots? You look good in training camp, but here's the different speed of the game. You got to read things on the fly now. Things aren't as scripted in practice as they are, you know, I mean, they're not scripted in the game as they are in practice. Do you go out and perform that way, and are we on the same page? So guys want to be able to have that trust factor, especially veterans around, and say, hey, all right, I know this guy, but I want to make sure that we gel well, especially in the game.
All right, so I'm going to put you on the spot here. Right. I'm going to say, give me three things that you want to see out of the first preseason game out of the Falcons.
All right, the big thing, obviously, I want to see up front. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of talk about offensive line, moving guys around, cross-training guys, some guys playing, you know, guard, some guys playing center, some guys, you know, moving around. I want to see that group. Mm-hmm. How well do they open up holes? You know, the stretch run game, the zone blocking scheme has been a big talk as well. Can they create some space for those running backs to make some extra plays? Also, the running back position, we talked about that. How well do these guys go out and play in this first game when they have a lot of carries? There's going to be a lot on them.
Right.
You know, they're going to get plenty of snaps. Can they really hold up to all the pressure that is going to be on them to do that?
Yeah.
Defensively, how much pressure can we get on the quarterback?
Yep.
We've seen a lot of different schemes up front, a lot of different pairings of guys of, you know, who can gel the best together. Can we get after the quarterback? That's what I want to see. Pass rush. Maybe not even sacks, but I want to see pressure. How much pressure can we get on the quarterback, get the ball out? And then also some of the rookies. I want to see how they perform, especially Hardy, especially Jalen Collins, some of those guys who are going to get a lot of playing time, how they perform when the lights are bright. Mm-hmm. So biggest things, O-line, D-line, and some of the rookies, I think are going to be some of the three biggest things that people really want to look at going into this first preseason game.
I love it. That's great stuff.
Like on the spot.
It's like you've seen football before.
Come on. It's like I've been here before. I don't know.
Hey, let's go on over to Break with Bosak.
Bo! Yo.
Break with Bosak's Brian Bosak.
Bo is a celeb.
Yo, and Trevor. Hey, Trevor.
Trevor, what's up, man?
Let me tell you something. We have a full house in here. It is like almost live in front of a studio audience.
You got the guy couch. You got Ashley in the back.
We got track and the clown. And it's amazing. What do we got, Bo?
All right, I got hopefully a better question for you guys this week. And
what was your dud of a question last week? I can't remember.
It was a zombie apocalypse, one weapon.
Oh, yeah.
To survive.
That was a dud.
He called it a dud.
All right. Who would win in a pie-eating contest? The Hulk, the Thing from Fantastic Four, or Joey Chestnut?
Well, Joey Chestnut, as I found out, I knew who he was, but I didn't know his name, is the hot dog guy. So
he's a hot dog guy. Yeah.
But this is a pie, so I don't think he'll do fare well in the pie because it's not hot dog. It's a little bit different. I'm going to go with the Hulk, man.
You're going to go with the Hulk?
I'm going to go with the Hulk. Okay. I like the Hulk simply because he is bigger than the Thing.
And you wouldn't like him when he's hungry.
Right. He's already, if he gets angry, he's angry. But what if he's hangry?
Ooh.
Yeah! You saw that one coming, huh?
I did. All right, just for the sake of being different, I'm going to go with Joey Chestnut, and I'll tell you why.
Uh-oh.
I saw in person Joey Chestnut in a food contest in Savannah, Georgia, one year on St. Patrick's Day. Spike TV was filming this, like, kind of Irish-themed eating contest. So the first one was corned beef and cabbage. And he ate the most ridiculous amount of corned beef and cabbage in like 5 minutes, right? He advanced on to the next round. So after that, and this isn't an Irish food, but it was green, so they just counted it, was jalapenos. How many jalapenos?
Oh, no.
The man ate 96 jalapenos in front of my very eyes in 5 minutes.
96 jalapenos?
Full whole jalapenos, not like with the seeds and all.
Did he have like 50 Pepto-Bismol? Yeah.
Let me tell you something. He had a rough few days after that.
Oh, he had to have a rough few days.
I mean, my God.
He had to lose a couple pounds after that.
It was incredible to see and also quite disturbing. So,
I'm pretty afraid to eat like three or four when I had like nachos because I know what they do
right,
to me.
Right, well.
Destruction.
Yeah. That's for a different podcast. but so I'm going to go with Joey Chestnut just because I've seen.
You've seen him eat different types of things.
I've seen him actually do some pretty amazing things.
Wow. So. Bosek, who you got, man?
Yeah, who you got?
I'm going Joey Chestnut.
See, yeah, I just convinced him.
I came prepared this week to say Joey Chestnut.
Because you knew it.
I was ready.
Jaws. They don't call him Jaws for nothing.
I couldn't even eat one jalapeno.
No, me neither. I couldn't eat it. No.
Also, all right.
Yeah.
Turn it around a little bit. Falcon. Okay. What Falcon would win in a pie-in contest?
What Falcon?
Yeah, which Falcon?
Dude.
It's too bad. Corey Peters is gone, obviously.
Think CP could have been easily won that?
I have seen Corey, and we used to always talk about it, just how much he can put away. It was a thing of beauty.
I look at Joe. Joe, like,
yeah.
Joe could hide like three pies in his beard or something. You know
what's really funny? You talk about this type of stuff, you would think, okay, offensive lineman, you'd think, okay, maybe Jake Matthews, right? I remember Jake's first few weeks here. He'd come to lunch and he'd get salads. He's like just eating like – so you got really? This huge offensive lineman. He's burning 10,000 calories a day and he's just eating salad for lunch.
So we misinterpret what the big guys are really about. They really made me have good eating habits.
They might. They might.
And maybe not eat a lot.
And you know what's funny? Okay, so some of the small guys – I've known a ton of small guys in my life who can just
who have like a tapeworm,
yeah.
Who can eat crazy. I met those guys. Like it won't gain a pound.
Got
or
a hollow leg. That's – well, Bosek doesn't keep –
Bosek's the same way?
He doesn't need enough to keep keep a bird alive. But
Austin, though, he
can
eat.
Austin can put it away.
Guy
on the couch can put it away.
Yeah, on the couch can eat. Well, that's that. Because when we came in here, he said, "All right, it's almost lunchtime."
It's almost lunchtime. Exactly. All right. Well, let's move it on to the video of the week. We've got a video of the week. All it says on our script is dog.
Dog.
That's it.
That's all we got.
Okay.
Diesel. Oh. This way.
What's he got? A box?
Yeah. What is that on his head? What is that?
He's trying to find his,
is he biting that? Is he holding on to it?
Yeah, he's biting it with his mouth.
Oh!
Oh! You know, cats usually like boxes.
This guy's not the smartest
Diesel.
One.
Diesel.
No.
Come here. This way.
Looks like a little bulldog.
Ah, I knew that was coming.
Looks like Diesel. A little bulldog there, DJ.
This way,
man.
You
look at that freaking gator over there. Oh. Why is he still holding on to
it? Yeah, why is... Where's he going with
this? Does it smell good? He is...
What's the end game?
He just keeps running into everything. Back into that wall.
That's awesome. Come on.
Is he trying to find that sidewalk behind him? Because... He keeps.
He wants to take that somewhere.
There we go.
That's all I know.
Hey,
and I'm out of here.
Success.
Nope.
Oh.
Spoke too soon.
But what's impressive, he never drops it.
He's committed to whatever he's trying to accomplish here. He's committed to it.
Maybe he's taking it to another fellow bulldog and say, "Hey,
here's a box.
Here's a box. Look what I did for you. I got beat up by cars and walls for this."
Okay.
This guy not worried about cars coming through the road or nothing.
Nope.
I'm going to skim through this a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
Another car.
So this goes on for quite some time.
Yeah, this is a 3-minute video.
Okay, well, we're not going to watch all of it.
Yeah, but he keeps going.
Oh, wow. Okay.
This guy is definitely.
He keeps going.
I got a dog.
Box will smell good.
I've got a dog, and there's a lot of times where I just feel like I just want to ask you a lot of different questions.
What is going on
here? What's the fascination with this or that or the other?
That dude was dedicated to that box.
He was. Thanks, Bosek.
Yeah, no problem.
That was really good. Usually cats like boxes, not dogs.
That one's a credit to guy on the box. Couch. He found that video.
Who found that?
Guy on the couch.
Guy on the couch. There
all right,
you go.
Man. Good stuff.
All right, well, that's
another.
He
found that on purpose just because it was a bulldog, huh?
That's it.
Guy on the couch loves a gator, so.
That's it.
Should have known.
That's right. Another addition. We got next week.
It's going to happen.
It's supposed
to
be
happen.
Matt Moore's final episode. We'll see what happens. But I think you and I at least got a little practice for what it's going to be coming up.
I know. I mean, I thought it went really well. I think the people think it went really well. Right? Yes, right. Tell us it went well. Thank you. Claps. Thank you. All
right. Right. All right.
Outstanding.
Well, that's it. We got a game.
We got a game, baby.
We got a game, baby. Ow, you really hurt
Tight.
Me.
Ow. We got a game, people.
We got a
people.
Game, baby. And we'll have plenty more on that and more of training camp next week on the Falcon Cast podcast. Make sure to check us out.
Yeah. Boom!
Oh!
Bam!